1 Corinthians 2:6. Pick up where I dropped off last week. I didn't feel like I got very far. Hopefully we do this week. I'm try to hit a lot of scriptures. And let's just see what the Lord got to say. He says, yet amongst the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not wisdom of this age. Say, not the wisdom of this age. The wisdom of this age is devilish. Just because it work out there don't mean that it's God. Yeah. It is definitely devilish. I was talking to somebody on yesterday, Brother Vinny and I, and they were talking about someone who came. Hey, Nicole, this is what the Lord say. The Lord says he likes your meekness and your humility. And that he'll treat you like he treated Moses. He'll treat you like he treated Moses, for Moses walked in meekness. He was the meekest man in the earth, and therefore God used him incredibly. He'll take you through a couple of quick promotions if you stay humble. People have a tendency to lose humility through elevation. If you remain humble, he'll take you before great men and women. I'm talking about in the military. By year 7 or 8, you'll be selected to be a drill sergeant. You will be. Keep your body in shape. If you get married, don't have no babies right out the chute. I'm telling you. Don't have no babies right out the chute. And that'll unlock future promotions from you at the senior level. Some of those positions you'll never get promoted to without a drill sergeant badge. You won't. Okay? Don't listen to nobody. You will not. But if you stay humble, he'll take your name before great people. And you will accomplish great exploits for him. People not looking for the smartest person in the military based off what's on the horizon. God is looking for people that'll serve him. And even when all the information and the equipment is against you, his spirit will still guide people out of difficult situations. Okay? And don't get out. Don't even, you will make a huge mistake. Do not get out. No matter what's happening in the world, the Lord is with you. Amen. Okay? Amen. He with you. But he says, whom are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this world understood this. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Right? Some of you are being, you're going through based off the revelation knowledge that God has given you about things. And to some degree, it's working. Right? You're faltering. You're falling back because you don't understand why you're going through. And the quickest way to get in like some doubt and unbelief is to feel like you can keep coming to God for answers and questioning where he has you at, rather than the acceptance, rather than just accepting what he's doing. And so he says, no eye has seen this, no ear has heard it, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the spirit of man. Nobody has imagined it, what God has prepared for the people who love him, for people that love him. Everybody don't love the Lord. Those things God has done revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I ask for utterance and the anointing. I ask for you to do what only you could do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Give somebody a high five and say, this is going to be real good. Grab your Bible as you're taking your seat and flip over to, I believe, Matthew 16. Some of you have been fought over Revelation to make you question it. And the wisdom that comes along with it that'll help you in your life. I was talking to a young preacher maybe about a month ago. And do you know what he said to me, Erica? I question everything I hear in church. And I said, and therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem. You have a right to question things that are against the word of God. You should question that. You should question things that don't make your baby leap, so to speak. But a lot of the things that you receive when you come from church, it's the wisdom of God. It's the way of God. And you shouldn't question that. It'll move you into unbelief. Like if I give, let's just use you, Nicole. Like, I didn't actually get that right there. I got that in this morning, standing before my mirror, finna brush my teeth. You popped into my spirit and my mind. So if I tell you that, and then you sit up all night and all day and all week questioning it, do you know what's going to happen? Nothing. Absolutely nothing going to happen. If it's God's will it to happen, nothing. His spirit sent it. And what happens, brother, is people question everything. If there's no trust in the preacher, you can't receive from him. How can you hear without one? Now you think about that. How can you hear without one? How can he preach without a message? And how can he preach a message that God hadn't gave him? But if he gave it to him, and you sit up and question it, this, I can't figure it out. That's the problem. If you could have figured it out, he would have never had to send you a word to get you out. But we question everything we hear. The young lady told the brother that they felt like when they came here that the preacher was spending too much time talking about money and was trying to get to him. And do you know what my thought was? Break out your ledger of how much you've given over the last 10 years, and I'll break mine out for 2 weeks and we'll compare. Break your ledger out for 10 years, and I'll break mine out for a month, and you'll see if I'm trying to get from you. You see? You question everything. And that's why people be in unbelief. And that's why their life don't change. I didn't see that like that. You give them the scripture, you give them the word, and they say, I didn't see it like that. But everybody who saw it like that got the results of what the preacher said other than you, because you didn't see it like that. You didn't have the revelation to see it. That's why it was hidden from you. But he gave it to a preacher. So everybody say, listen up, listen up, listen up. There are pathways to your next. There are ways that God, that heaven has set up to get you to life-changing things that'll change your life. How many can use some things changing your life? what has the revelation that God gave you and you applied, did it fix it? Or did you have any? What about marital problems? Do you know why it hasn't changed? For either you've rejected revelation knowledge or you didn't receive it. So when the Spirit of God is on something and it comes to you, you have a responsibility to receive it, to be open to receive it. And this is what creates the change. This creates the pathway. It creates a path from heaven to you. That the thing that you desire, the thing that you don't even know you need, heaven gets it to you. I'm trying to tell somebody today, if you open up your spirit, God will get it to you. In Matthew 16, Jesus is talking, and he says something around verse number 16. He had started off a little bit ahead and asking Peter, who do men say that I am? And then in this particular passage, he starts talking about around 16, Peter answered him and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How did he get that? He got it through revelation. He got it through God sending it directly to him. See, this is why you need preachers. When God don't send it directly to you, you want him to give it to somebody to give it to you. And then what do you have to do? You have to receive it. And Peter, Jesus said to him, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you. He blessed him because of the revelation that he'd received. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, what flesh and blood has what? Not revealed it unto thee. Flesh and blood has not, but my Father which is in heaven has given this to thee. He said unto him, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church. What does he say? And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. See, the devil cannot stop revelation knowledge. He don't even have to stop revelation knowledge that you reject. You stopped it. He don't have to stop nothing. You have no idea how many times God has sent people something and then I watched their life play out opposite because they rejected it. Now, it's not up to me to run up to them and say, the Lord told you so. I told you so. No, you hope they get another chance. But oftentimes, if you sit in church all the time and your life is not changing, you're either sleeping through, rejecting, or questioning some revelation knowledge that God has given you to fix the situation. And that's the only way it happens. So when you think about, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. I thought that was interesting. We'll try to divulge into it later. He says, and I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you stop, I'll stop it. Whatever you loose on the earth, I'll loose it. And then he charged them that they should tell nobody. Of course, they told everybody. But whatever you are letting happen in your life is totally up to you. If you believe that God gave you the right woman or the right man and you wind up in some divorce court, if you let the devil take your marriage, it's solely up to you. So what I was sharing with, I think it was Brother Vinny on yesterday, the brothers, a couple of them that was sitting there. If I say that, if I'm having marital problems and I say, I want to fight for my marriage. I want to fight for my marriage. I want to fight for my marriage. And then I move out. If I say I'm going to fight for my marriage and then I move out the house, do it look like I'm fighting? If I say that I want to do better economically and yet I'm not looking for a job, do it look like I'm serious about that? No, I'm not serious about it. So when you think about what he's giving him here, I'm gonna get, and whatsoever you let happen, I'm going to let it happen. Ooh-wee. Whatever you stop, I'll get behind it. Well, when God want to stop it, what does he start doing? He come in the house and he take out his spiritual loving arms and he squeeze y'all together. No, he sent forth revelation. Go over there and hug on your wife. go in there and apologize. Go in there and unpack your bags. Go in there and get on your face and you sob and you cry before me. And then when you finish with me, then I want you to go in there and I want you to talk to him. But whatever you let happen, he gonna let it happen. Do you know how many people, I don't know why I'm stuck in marriage, that I have seen that was still in love with their ex-husband or ex-wife and now they married to somebody else? You know what happened to them? They would not fight for the marriage. And it's no doubt in my mind, because God has instituted marriage, that he was sending forth revelation knowledge on telling them what to do. And they would not do it. And for the Christian, most of the time, it is the person in church. I heard what pastor said, I'm not going to do it. How can he preach unless he be sent? God sent him. How can he give you a message unless God give it to him? And then when they say, I heard pastor, I'm not going to do it. What they're saying is, I'm rejecting heavenly revelation knowledge. I am going to reject this. I do not need this. I'm going to do it my way. And you know what happens? You know what happens? You get what you get. Because you let it happen. Amen. But we can stop this. This is what I want to talk about today. The pathway to your next is being able to control the demonic atmosphere. You got to be able to control that. You can't be these Christians that always want to fight naturally. You carnal. You'll get no more results than an unsaved person going to get in that relationship. Amen. Your marriage is going to look just like a sinner, because they will not yield to the Spirit of God. You have yielded once if you say, but you will not continue to yield to God. And you're going to get the same results that an unsaved person would get in their life, because you're rejecting the Spirit operating in your life. And you got to take control over the devil when he is trying to come against you. So last week we talked about, let me just do a quick little recap for the people that wasn't here and the other ones that was here that slept through it. You have to, when God is trying to take you to a place, the first thing that you got to come in contact with, you're going to go through different seasons. Everybody say different seasons. Primarily three. The first one, you're going to go through a season of pressure. The devil got to see what was in you. It don't make you powerful because you lead intercessory prayer. You ain't up under no pressure. When your spouse about to leave you, when your health is deteriorating, when you ain't got no money, when you going through stuff and you don't know why you going through, anybody ever went through stuff and you didn't even know what was happening to you, you went to bed fine, you woke up totally, seemed like the devil done crept in overnight into your house and messing with your mind, now you under pressure. When they're giving your child, they say your child is facing 30 years to life and you got all this pressure up under you, it was easy to come out, believe somebody else when their kid was going to jail, but now it's your baby that's facing life in prison, and now you have to go to God. Now you're up under pressure. You got 18 years. They're talking about kicking you out the military. Now you're under pressure. And God is saying, whatever you let happen, I'm going to let it happen. Whatever you bind, I'm going to bind. Whatever you loose, I'm going to loose it in the earth. I'm going to help you to the degree that you allow me to help you. And if you don't allow me to help you, I'm not going to overtake your life. Tell somebody, say, let God help you. Then you're going to go through seasons of opposition. But the opposition, we talked about briefly last week, the opposition comes to reveal your assignment. See, if you constantly going through marital problems, you got a marital anointing attached to you someplace. If you always broke and you know you got, you know, if you had money that you would be a giver, then you going through a period where the devil is keeping you under or with nothing to prevent you from ever being the giver that God wants you to be. He know that if he gave you the type of money, you change not only the church, you change everybody's life in the church because you don't love money, but you won't resist the devil. Somehow the devil has hoodwinked you to make you think that that's a part of your plan, and it's not a part of your plan. Tell somebody being broke in poverty is not a part of God's plan for you. Tell them, say, you can die broke, but God wants you to be abundantly supplied. It, now, here's the thing. The oppression comes in because he's trying to reveal to you that there's a business attached to you, that there's abundance attached to you. The oppression comes that you never pursue. It tries to kill your hope before you get started. It tries to suffocate the vision that God put in you as a young boy or a young girl. He tries to kill it, Dylan, before you ever get started. And he'll use people around you. I'm going to show you in a second if I get a chance. He'll use people around you to help the adversary. I don't have time. Just give me a minute. I'm going to get to it. He'll use people around you to help the adversary. Sometimes they don't even realize they're being used. Sometimes they do. Tell somebody, say, God is revealing your assignment. You need all this. And then the last one is the season of persecution. This is powerful. This is what Paul was talking about with Jesus. Jesus did nothing wrong but come to die for the world. And he was hated for nothing. Matter of fact, the Bible says he was hated without a cause. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you ain't never did nothing to nobody, and here you are a woman, and you go into places and seem like all the women hate you for no reason. That's persecution. You're hating me for my grace. Sometimes beauty is a grace. So they hate you because you look good and they ugly. And you ain't did nothing to them, just walk in the room. You just showed up on the job. They don't like you because your uniform is squared away. Right. And you show up on time. Right. And you don't talk about the boss. Amen. And they hate you without a cause. Ain't never did nothing to them. Ain't never said nothing wrong to them. Ain't never stole nothing from them. But yet they hated you. They're hating on you because without a cause. That's persecution. They set you up. They try to make you fail. And here's the thing about it. You know, my mom used to always say, when you try to make somebody else fail, you dig in a ditch for them, dig one for yourself too. Because you guaranteed to fail. I'm going to say it again. When you are trying to ensure that one person fails, that's digging a hole for them. So you dig one right beside them so y'all can talk through the dirt because you're going to fall too. Amen. So John 10:10, he talks about, we left off, talking about the thief comes to do what? He's trying to shut your door. He's trying to close some of us out of some areas. He's trying to destroy our lives. And you have to do what? You got to be able to control that. When you're under spiritual attack, that's not the time to become weak. You have to tap into God. Everybody say tap into God. Because the devil don't know mercy. You're not going to get down with him twisting you and twisting your arm behind your back and say, uncle. No, he's going to twist. When the minute that you let your arm go limp, he's going to twist it even more. Because he's not going to show you no mercy. Okay, well, how do you come out of this situation? You have to stop him in Jesus' name. You have to stop him through the Spirit of the living God that lives on the inside of you. Say, Christ is in me, the hope of glory. So he's trying to shut us out some areas. So persecution, watch this. I've said this many times before, but persecution always surrounds some prophecy. When God is trying to get you some provision or that God has sent you a promise, it's always going to be surrounded by something. Now, what typically happens there, Sister Reese, is that people back off of it. When he starts sending them into their purpose, when people start understanding who they are in God, you're going to start getting a whole bunch of demonic attacks. And they won't be foreign to you. I'm going to show you, most of them are not going to be foreign to you. He'll use things that's very near unto you. And the whole point of it is, co-pastor, he's trying to stop the plan of God in the people of God's life from ever manifesting. So the way that you get things to manifest ain't just to sit up and talk about manifest, manifest, manifest. It's going to manifest. That's a song. That's not the way that you do it. You have to take control of the spirit realm while you almost simultaneously still working in the natural realm. You have to take control of this. I'm preaching this real good. You have to take control of the spirit realm while you are simultaneously doing things in the natural and walking by faith at the same time. Because the minute that you stop doing one or the other, you're losing traction in that area. You're losing traction in that area. And the whole point of why God, I believe God is having me deal with this, the pathway to your next, is because I want to tell some people, everything that's been happening to you, Sister Baker, has been intentional. Everything wrong, Sister Erica, has been intentional. It's no mistake about what you're going through, Sister Dawn. It's no mistake. You didn't just wake up, brother, and then it just happened. No, no, no. The devil has been plotting and planning for a long time. And sometimes he takes time to make sure you're in the right position. He's not going to waste no attack. He'll try to usher that person right into it. Doesn't it's like shooting missiles and stuff. It doesn't one click off. You're an artillery guy, I think. One click off can put an artillery round in a whole different grid. So you thought you shooting at the enemy because you seen him, but I think Deacon Strange preached this one time. But you 1 degree off, so you missing the target. You're missing the target every single time. But the thing that he's doing to you, he has waited until you got right in this place where you was trying to live right. Where you made a vow to the Lord about the things, you repented of things, you cleaned your life up, and then all of a sudden, all this stuff started coming at you. Y'all decide that y'all was going to be a spirit-led family, let God lead you, and before you know it, now y'all at each other's throat. And it was all because the devil is very intentional. The devil understands it. I didn't go into that action and action, but the devil sometimes understands who you are before you understand who you are. Adam obviously didn't understand who he was. Eve didn't understand who she was. And the devil set him up in the garden. He knew Moses. He knew the deliverer had been born in Israel. And he set out to kill all the boys of a certain age looking for one boy. And then God still was hiding Moses. And then he made the one that was trying to destroy him take care of him until he was at an age where he can break away, and then God will take care of him the rest of the way. And this is what I'm saying to some of you. Some of you, God is going to make the devil take care of you in an area because he ain't even going to be able to really recognize who you are. And he is going to be the one that has scoop you out the water, take you to the palace, dress you up and protect you, and you the one he's looking for. Say, only God can do it. Say, only God can do it. But he'll recognize who you are before you recognize who you are. I wonder how he got Judas. Judas is walking with God. I wonder how he got Judas, and Judas is walking with God. And here he is, he done got him to turn against the Savior of not over the whole world, the Savior of the earth, but the whole world. He got him to turn against him. See, sometimes we don't understand what God got in right in front of us, and he'll use the enemy to turn you against it. The very one that's been assigned to help you, he'll get you to turn against them. I'm going to show you here in a second. So his goal is to get you out or get you to abort the will of God. This is too hard. This is the main reason why abortions really take place. Physical abortions. I can't afford no baby. I don't have no husband. He give you a list of things that you point out that you don't have, but shout, you got God. Say, if you got God, you don't need nobody else. And so he'll get you to panic, to abort because of the pressure and because of what you don't have and because of what's not going right. You'll find a person that'll abort the will of God because of the difficulty. There's a lot of preachers that ain't preaching no more. The pressure and the abandonment and the ostracism and people turning against them caused them to walk away from, abort their calling because they felt like nobody was with them. That's somebody with them. They just picked the wrong initial crowd. Moses picked the wrong initial crowd. He didn't pick them. He had the wrong initial crowd. And what God do? He purged them all. Let's keep on. Let's look at it. So how was he going to get people, go to Matthew 10, get us to abort the will of God for our life? How's he going to do it mainly? He's going to use people. He's going to use people close to you. He's going to use people who have your ear. He's going to use people who know your weaknesses. And this is why Jesus says, an enemy, a man's enemies will be what? The members of his own household. Now, that could be a natural household. It could be a spiritual household. It's indicative to say people who are in your circle. Some people don't live with you, but you always got them in your house. They spend more time at your house than they do at their house, so they really like a family member. You ever seen people that own your house so much that you could almost claim them on your taxes? They eat all your food. They use all your air. They sleeping on your furniture. They tearing up your car. Ask your neighbor, say, what's your Social Security number? Matthew 13, 19 says this. It says the evil one, why is he there? He comes to snatch away what was sown in your heart. What has been sown in your heart? Some promise, your purpose, provision, some prophecy. He's come to snatch that away. Oftentimes, when it's linked to your purpose, do you know what God has to do there, Naomi? He has to get you away from family. Most of them are not encouragers. And they'll package trying to trap you out of your purpose by saying, we're going to miss you. We don't want you to go. But really, they fear you changing. Amen. They fear you walking. What are you going to do? I feel like God is calling me to preach. I feel like God is calling me to prophesy. I feel like God is calling me to build, and I'm supposed to be over here. Well, you ain't never been there. We ain't got no family out there. We're going to miss you. We need you. What are they trying to do? They're trying to trap you out your purpose. And they camouflage it like it's love. But it really, tell somebody, say, it's really not love. So he'll use, what does he use it? He wants proximity to you. He's going to use somebody close to you. He's going to use somebody that you're familiar with. He's going to use somebody that you trust and that you've exposed your weaknesses to. Boy, some of you better pay attention. And the whole thing is he's using their proximity to create vulnerabilities. he's using their closeness to expose the areas where the enemy can get in. And this is why you have to have your heart and your mind on him. You can't just let the devil just park in your mind and in your soul when you got a word from God. You cannot, you can't come to church and let him get you in a predicament where you question everything you hear. He's going to attack that vulnerability. He's going to use that. And so because you give these people the keys, you give them access to your life, and you should be guard. Say, guard your life, guard your life, guard your life. Look at Ezekiel 34. So you find people every time you get ready to read, somebody knocking on your door, ringing your doorbell. You set aside time to pray. Everybody got a problem. The kids go crazy. Somebody calling you about something. God give you a plan. He give you a plan to start saving money for a certain thing, and then everybody in the family, everybody in the church, and every friend you know seem to have a financial problem right now. What are they trying to do? They're trying to poke holes in what God told you to do. They're trying to poke a hole in it. But in Ezekiel, put up 34, 11 through 16. Let's look at this for a second, because there's some things that we don't want the devil to do. We want to be able to handle him. Say, be to handle the devil. He says, for thus said the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep, and I'm going to seek them out. Say, this is good news. He says, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is amongst his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all those places. Say, I'm coming out, and the Lord going to get me out. Where they have been scattered in the cloudy and the dark day. He says, I'm going to bring them out from my people, gather them from the countries. This is that's a prophecy. That's actually happening right now. And he'll bring them to their own land, back to Israel. But I want to use this for us today. Say, he's going to use this for us today. And feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, in the inhabitant of places of the country. He says, I'm going to feed them in a good pasture upon the high mountains, and Israel shall be their fold. There shall they lay in a good fold, in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flocks. I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord. I will seek them that are lost and bring them which are driven away, and bind up those that are broken, and will strengthen that which is sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. The people who reject it. But all the ones that are trying to get out, everybody that's in here that's trying to get out, the Lord is going to get you out. If you're serious about a turnaround or a change, the Lord is going to get you out. He will not just let the enemy just run the rush shot over you. But here's the key there, Sister Sims. You got to pay spiritual attention. If you don't pay spiritual attention to what's happening to you, you can give access to the devil through people that you trust, sometimes for no reason at all, and then the devil will make you question the person that God sent to deliver you. He'll make you question that person. So 1 Corinthians 13, let's go back there. There is a way out. There is a pathway to your next. And you cannot come unglued because you're under pressure, because you're being oppressed, because it looked bad. It looks bad in the natural. What should you do? You look through the eyes of Christ at it. You'll see the potential. You look at it through the eyes of Christ, you'll see the potential. I posted something in our blog about this lady who got saved. Her and her husband sold drugs and did drugs and all this bad stuff. And then the woman gets saved. Somebody leads her to Christ at work. She gets hold, tell the man. The man say, what you going to do? She asked him, what should I do? He said, I guess go read the Bible. She starts reading the Bible and getting closer to God, and then the more she got closer to God, the worse he got. So she said, I think she said she wanted to leave him. And she said, but God, if you will let me see him through your eyes,
And God started to let the woman see the man through his eyes, how he saw the man with all of his drugs and all of his selling, whatever he was doing, and how he was treating her. And then the man comes to know God because as she is allowing God to feel her, he's seeing God work through her, and God drew him to him through her. And what am I saying to some of you? If you will let God show you how to look at people through his eyes, we could fill this sanctuary in no time. We could fill this place. We'll be on our next building. But you got to see it through his eyes. And the whole point of it is, he says, Paul says, there is no temptation taken unto man, which is, but it's such as common unto man, rather. He said, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. Does God test us? Does he ever test man? Not with evil, but he do test man. What is the test about? Qualifying you. When God want to test a Christian with more money, do you know what he tests them with? The tithe. He's trying to see if they love money. Mm-hmm. When God wants to elevate somebody in ministry, he sends forth spiritual storms, not to break them, but to reveal what's in them that need to come out before they go up. Their response to it lets you know that's still in them. When he is trying to elevate a family, it seemed like everybody in the house go crazy at one time. But what is our response to it? We have to know that this is common. And what he'll typically do, Sister Deaconess Strange, he'll point you to many people who went through the same thing you went through and came out of it. So I need a witness. Say Holy Ghost, show me who my witness is. Say Holy Spirit, show me who my witness is. There's always a group of people that God has put around to you to let you know that this is possible. Because all things are possible to the person that believes. But the more carnal you are, you will need a natural example. You'll need to see people. This is why when you testify, you don't get up and lie about it. If you can't tell all the details, don't tell the victory. Because the real strength of what you have right now is what you went through to get to it. That's what makes your life valuable. We call it experience, meaning experience is the stuff I have paid for with my life. It cost me at a high level to live at this level. It cost me at a high level to live pure at this level. It cost me a lot to have this type of anointing. It cost me a lot to have this type of relationship with my wife or with God. It cost me a lot. See, but when you ain't willing to pay for anything, how can God take you to that place? So he says, but wherewith the temptation, what happens? He makes a way of escape, meaning that the problem and your answer are in the same place. The problem and the answer is in the same place. So I'm not going to tell the whole story, but somebody had some paperwork they needed. It was in a car, many states over. But the paperwork is the answer. But because they were separated from the paperwork, that created a problem. But when they got the paperwork, meaning the problem and the answer is in the same spot. When they got the paperwork back in their hand, that solved the problem. Some of you are running around and you're avoiding the problem, but your answer is in the same place. You just got to be able to make a slight adjustment and then you'll get the victory that you need. Say, my answer and my problem are in the same spot. That's why you don't run from it. That's why you don't be a chicken and you fear facing adversity. You fear facing failure. You fear facing whatever. Then I'm not going to get it back. Say, no, God is with me. Who can be against me? And when you're in those situations, what do? You let peace be your compass. It's five states over. Unless you done been there 100 times, you don't know how to get there. You let the GPS be your compass. In this case, you let the Holy Ghost be your compass. Go to Genesis 37. You're being persecuted, and it's not random. It's not an accident, and you need it. We all need it. We all need it. This is why a lot of us would never have been the savior of the world, because we would have refused to die. This is why some of us could never be a pastor. Some things you disqualified because you fear the persecution. Sometimes the same thing that kill you is the same thing that released God. Unless a seed fall to the ground and die, it cannot turn into what it's supposed to. Some of us, you've not turned into what you're supposed to because you ain't willing to die. You don't want to go through no persecution. You like the easy life. You admire people with the anointing, but you say, God, why won't you give it to me? Because you won't go through no persecution to get it. You can't live without people talking to you or applauding you. You can be preaching the right message from God and people looking at you ignorant, and so you will change your message because they got their neck twisted all to the side. Demonized, looking at you through them demon eyes, and you got the message of deliverance, but you won't preach it because ain't nobody clapping. That's disqualified. You ain't qualified to be up here. You ain't qualified to preach. You ain't qualified to do it because you can't handle people isolating you and not inviting you to their party. You can't handle being rejected by men, which means that if you can't handle being rejected by a man, if God elevates you, the person below you will control you because somehow you feel like you need them. So you need nobody but God. So when it's going through, it's everybody say strategic preparation. God is allowing the devil to persecute you, to promote you. Job was persecuted when he got the revelation of what God was doing. Then God gave him everything back and then some. Mm-hmm. But he had to be willing to go through and take it. So when you think about this, let's look at Brother Joseph. Joseph, when you look in that 37th chapter, his brothers hated him. Mm-hmm. His brother, I don't even know if it was that without a cause there, Minister Robeson. Do you know why? Because they did what they did to him out of jealousy. Look this way, please. They did what they did to him out of jealousy. And they did what they did is because it was obvious to all of them that the father was treating him different, but nobody wanted to acknowledge it. This is why Jesus says sometimes your enemies are of your own house. Because I know everybody want to say, I treat all my kids the same. Ask them. And you may not be doing anything malicious, but whatever it is, it's obvious to them. Now, they grew up in a different time to where you didn't really question your parents, so they had to live through it. And then they just waiting for an opportunity. This is why he say, yo, sometimes the enemies will be the same people of your house, of your household. All the mothers up here thinking, don't treat me and my kids different. Screech, screech, screech. If you don't, great. If you do, you can get some understanding right here. Now, they are against Joseph. One, it may not have been warranted. It could have been warranted because they're seeing that there's obvious a difference of how the father treats them. The father didn't cut the coat into a bunch of pieces and give it to all of them. He gave the coat to him. The coat is symbolic of favor, right? Meaning that sometimes God will give that parent insight that you have birthed 6 kids, 8 kids, but this kid is different. You are to protect all your kids, but especially this one. But because they cannot see into the future, this creates a problem with them and the whole family. And it led Joseph to the pit and led him to the prison. It led him, eventually it wind up leading him to the palace because the spirit of excellence is now being recognized. The same thing his father saw, Potiphar saw. The same thing that Potiphar saw, they saw when he was in the prison. The same thing that they saw the father saw, they saw it when he came to the palace, and now he gets propped up in this whole kingdom. But here was Joseph's problem. He had an issue too. Joseph, watch this. Joseph was too talkative. I'm going to help some of you. I'm going to show you how the devil been getting you. Every time God gets ready to do something to you, you start running your mouth too much. You're too talkative. You don't know how to harness your excitement and move in silence into the right season. And when you become too talkative, you thought you were sharing it with people, but it was birthing envy and jealousy in them. You were telling them because you wanted them to be a part of it. But they didn't want no part of it, and they don't want you to have your part in it. They want to destroy it because in their mind, they're saying, God, why did you choose Brother Vinny and not me? Why did you choose my baby sister and not me? Why did you choose my brother or my whoever and not me? And you say, I was here first. I've done all these things for my father. Matter of fact, I'm more gifted than them. They can run down their resume too. And I'm able to do this. And I'm able to do that. And I pay for this. And I sow all this. And I do that. And I open up. And I do this. And God is saying, but that's not the qualification. You have the giftings, but they have the favor. And I'm telling somebody, you don't ever have to fight with somebody that's more gifted with you and you got the favor on your life. They will work themselves to death, and what they're laboring for, God will just give it to you. They'll do all of these things, and then God will still bless you. Say, he talking to me. Tell somebody, learn how to move in silence. So before you're elevated, God will prepare you. And that's why when Joseph finally gets out of this situation, do you know what he said to his brothers? He said, what you meant for evil, God turned it for my good. He repurposed, this is what I'm saying, he'll repurpose the devil's plan against you. That's why Paul says in Romans 8, all things work together for the good to them who love the Lord. God don't bring good out of evil, but he'll make it work together somehow. The same thing that's rubbing you raw, seem to be raw, it'll reveal what's really in you, your giftings and your talent. It'll take you before people. It'll drive you to places that you never would have went to had the conditions been perfect in your life. And then you find yourself coming out of a storm and meet the very person that God had assigned to bless your life. I'm telling some of you, you, you're about to step out of the storm right into a place where God is going to use somebody to use their time, their talent, their position, their influence, and their money to turn your life around. And I say amen to this. He's going to use somebody to use their time, their talent, their influence, their position, and their money to shape your life and turn your life around. The brother shared a story yesterday. The pastor did not want to be in Alaska. And the wife, because the influence is with the woman, and the woman didn't want to be there. And she the prophet. She didn't want to be there. And in 1 week, I think you said, God sent four people to give them four different checks, enough money to build a facility, state-of-the-art facility, debt-free, to let them know that they in the right place. See, they from a hot place in the States. They from Mississippi, Alabama, and we'll give up our purpose to stand in the sun. We'll give up our purpose to be in a place where there's got a beach and sunshine rather than being in the place where it's snowy and it's cold, but the S-O-N is shining on that location. I'm telling somebody, don't run from your location. I don't care if it's snow. I don't care if it's mountains. I don't care if it's Colorado. Don't run from it if the S-O-N is shining there, because that's where you're going to get your victory at. Some of them people trying to bait, some of your family trying to bait you out of your purpose to get closer to them, and you're going to find out that you're in the wrong place. You're going to find out that you was in the right place. Say, stay where you're put. Tell somebody, say, God is talking to you. But everything that happened to Joseph, it was intentional. The devil thought he was winning. Some of you, he thought he was winning. He thought that the stuff that you went through in the form of abuse would kill your spirit. Not kill you. He don't want you dead. He wants to kill your spirit so you don't resist him no more. And what did God do? He broke you away. And he about to break some of you away right now. The devil ain't trying to kill you. He's trying to break your spirit, but God got you away. He led you out of that place, and you realized that there was something greater on the inside of me. I just had to break away from people who were beating me at the same time, telling me they love me. Say, there's a pathway to my blessing. Say, there's a pathway to my blessing. Opposition don't mean you off course. Opposition sometimes reveal to you that you on the right course, Sister Young. And so therefore, when you can discern, I am on the right course, it's no reason for me to come unglued. I'm serving God. I'm supposed to have opposition. What am I saying, Sister Keenan? Sometimes opposition is the witness you're looking for. See, we confuse confirmation with the witness. Sometimes the witness is the proof that you're on the right path. Why am I going? Why is it such a struggle to go this way? Because I'm on the right path. Why is it that we're finding hard? At one point, we couldn't keep our hand off each other. Now it's like it's like sleeping in a mortuary. Why is all this? Because you were moving in the right path. Tell somebody, say, keep going ahead. Keep moving ahead. Keep moving ahead. What's the devil hunting for? He's hunting for your prophetic word. Saul was hunting David down like a dog. Because he knew that God had rejected him. And then God tells him, I have chosen another. He starts to figure it out, Brother Vinny, when he goes back after David kills Goliath, and the people, thousands and tens of thousands of people, are echoing that God has chosen somebody else, Saul. And they're saying, Saul has killed hundreds, but David has killed thousands. He's saying, his favor is different. this got to be the one. And Saul chased David like a dog. Even though the son has recognized that David is his successor. And the son tells the father, he said, don't you realize that if you don't get rid of David, that he is going to take your throne? You have to kill him. But he didn't kill him. What does Jonathan do? Jonathan takes off his robe because he's a man after God's own heart, and he gives the robe to the person who is rightfully the owner of the robe, and he's basically saying, if it'll keep me in God's will to be second in the kingdom or be lesser in the kingdom, I'd rather please God, be right with God and wrong with my father than right with my father and wrong with God. He gave up his position to serve the one that God said is going to be the kingdom anyway. So you can fight me and try to kill me if you want to. God is for me. I got a word. I got a prophetic word, and he has been hunted like a dog because of something God said about him. What am I saying? Some of you have been hunted by the enemy because God has said you are called to do something great in the kingdom for him. You have greatness on your life. You have an anointing on your life. You have an ability to change the life of many people. Your marriage is supposed to heal hundreds of marriages, and you're struggling because the devil is after a word that God has sent you. But shout, he not going to get it. Shout, he not going to get it. I'm going to buckle down. I'm going to control the spiritual atmosphere. Shout, he not going to get it. You got to do whatever you let happen, though. Whatever you let happen, he going to let it happen. Because he told you, you can handle this. By my spirit, not by power, not by might, but what? By my spirit. Why do you need the spirit? He'll give you revelation, knowledge, and wisdom on what to do. Much of the church is disconnected the natural and the spirit. And they'll live in the spirit and won't walk by faith. Or they'll be trying to walk by faith and not getting nothing from the Spirit. If you ain't getting nothing from the Spirit and you're trying to walk by faith, you should just stay where you at. Amen. When you don't know what God wants to do, you don't do nothing. You stay put. You don't just tell, you don't roll the dice with your life. You stay put till God tell you to go. Because you can be looking at the circumstances, and the circumstances are ugly. The circumstances are telling you no, and God is telling you yes. The circumstances are telling you to go, and God will be telling you to stay. So the spirit and the natural works together. Can you take a little bit more? Is my time up? I got about 3 minutes. Well, let's see if I got enough time to formulate this thought. I don't think I do. Ooh, y'all can't take all that. Can you come back next week? You're on the right path. I want to tell some people you're on the right path. Don't let what you're dealing with. Your situation is not unique. That's the first thing you got to embrace. Whatever you're dealing with, somebody has dealt with it and they won. That's your pattern. Whatever you're going with through, somebody is playing the same cards that you are crying about, and they winning. Why? Because the potential of a thing ain't in the thing. The potential of a thing is in the person that holds the thing. The potential ain't it. The potential of a thing is not in the thing. It's in the person that holds the thing. This Bible has a lot of power. It does nothing until I get it in me and release it. The potential of a thing is not in the thing. It's in the person that holds it. Somebody is holding nothing but diamonds. The whole alphabet, A through 2. and they winning at somebody's table, you can tell I don't know nothing about no cards. They got the same cards in their hand you got. You can't see what to play because you won't stop crying and whining. And they winning and you losing because you will not have faith in what you got. You don't have somebody else's husband. You don't have somebody else's wife. You're not even dealing with the same amount of money somebody got in their bank account. You can win with what you got. I say you can win with what you have. It's not what you're holding. Say, it's God before me. Say, God is for me. Say, God is for me. I am going to win with what I'm holding. You don't know what I'm holding, preacher, and you don't know the God that can change anything. You don't know the God good enough that can change your whole situation. Tell somebody, in one day. Stand to your feet, give the Lord a good hand, praise. I believe I'll stop right there. Trust what you're holding. Trust what you got. Trust what you got. I've watched people watch other people, and they knew everything about you and your victories, but they was losing the whole time. They knew everything about everybody else's life, and they were not conscious that they could win too. I want to tell some people, you can win too. I'm not saying don't acknowledge people and praise people and celebrate people. As soon as I give you a praise for what God done in your life, I forgot about it. I'm looking for my own victory now. I won't hate on a person. I'm gonna celebrate them, but I ain't gonna do it every time I see you. I can guarantee you that. I got my own stuff to deal with. I'm after my own victories. That's somebody's word right now. Mind your own business and go after your own victories. If people want you to celebrate with them. And then go back to getting your own victories. Tell somebody, you got next. Tell three people, say, you got next. Give them a high five and say, you got next. Your breakthrough is right on the cuffs. It's standing on the cuffs of heaven. It's about to make it to you. You got next. Prophesy to them a little bit. Say, you got next. 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 This church got next. This church has, we're sitting in a season where God is going to prove. And he has done it over the last 10 years. I hate to say it, but they can really stop the recording at this point. But I've watched people that was competing against me, but I wasn't competing against them.